I'm glad it's night, so the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it, driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and Rams.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Hello, hello.
Fiona's forecast number, what round is it?
Five.
What a difference a week makes, huh?
Oh, no.
Fucking hell.
Wow, we were positive pollies last week, and we just...
This time last week, I said in the pod after the game, I'm angry with myself.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got sucked in. Then there's the soft tissue injuries. We're going to get to all of this.
Yeah.
It's basically a wounded ward right now, the hangar. And you've had a big week too.
Oh,
you put out a tweet.
My.
And I only realised it like long after you tweeted it. I don't know. Do you want to explain what happened?
Oh, well, why don't you explain the topic?
Okay, well, Finlayson, who, he was alleged to have said a homophobic slur. Look, what I'll say from the start, people make mistakes, right? And everyone's entitled to make a mistake. However, and it's a big H, capital H, however, he said the F word. The homophobic F word. You know what you're doing, man. You know what you're doing. There was a rumor at the start of the week he said cocksucker.
No, that's what Clarkson said.
Okay. So that's what they were saying. That's what he said. The F word, people know exactly what they're doing when they say that. Firstly, he's very lucky. How he only got 3 weeks on pay, I don't know. But I guess it's a bit like when you're on drugs and get a day off.
Yeah.
You still get paid. Everything's fine.
No, I don't think he's getting paid. I think he's got to pay for his program that he has to partake.
Okay.
Some equality program that they're forcing him to take, and I don't think he's getting paid. I don't think. But my issue is people, the people on the brigade of we all make mistakes. This is a 28-year-old. A 28-year-old in 2024. He's not some naive teenager. Yeah. So this is not a mistake. This is something in your heart. If you have that in your heart, in your vocabulary, to come at somebody for who they choose to love and who they choose to be, this is not a mistake. This is a sense of self. That's how I see it. You cannot make the claim that this is a mistake from his point of view. Because he's in an educated system, being the AFL. He's not the brightest tool in the shed. We get that. But he's not a naive 12-year-old or a naive teenager. And I just will not cop that everyone makes mistakes. I get that they do, but this is on a different level.
Yeah, and the fact he's 28 is telling. And you tweeted something which I thought was a fantastic point, and I haven't seen it or heard it made anywhere, but we're one of the only sports that doesn't have an openly gay player.
We are, and it's 2024 and we're still that far away from it.
And how many players are there? So there's
that's right.
How many teams versus how many players?
Plus VFL programs.
It would be an absolute statistical anomaly of the highest order. It'd be like getting hit by lightning 20 times.
That's right.
To think there's no gay players. Why would a gay player come out in these circumstances? Not just from what Finlayson said, but when you look at the responses to your...
Oh, my God, Solution.
And the homophobia kind of riddled in there. Oh. Yeah, I'm keeping my... I'm not coming out if I'm a player.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that tweet, and I stay away from saying anything political on Twitter or doing anything controversial on Twitter because I know it brings the trolls out and I'm just not mentally up for that. I'm just not mentally here for that. But I got really triggered by that because two of the best people in my life are gay and I felt really, I got my mama bear, you know, backside up, and I felt really, really triggered by it. And I stupidly put out that tweet, you know, basically saying it was an emotional tweet, basically saying that Finlayson's a dickhead and it's a disgrace, and to grow up, and to, you know, this is why we have no openly gay players. This is the shit that causes it. And the comments have been the most vile, natured bigotry that you could, anything that your mind can come up with, it was there. The misogynists, the racists, the homophobes, telling me to go kill myself, calling me Nancy and Karen, and saying that there's no, that AFL is a boys' sport. There's no gay players.
Yeah, because that one made me laugh because of testosterone.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Do these people not know? So we think we're so far ahead of rugby league in social issues. Ian Roberts was. Have you heard of Ian Roberts?
Who's that?
Rugby league player back in the 80s, 90s.
Okay.
He might have played for Penrith or someone like that. Look him up.
Okay.
Came out back then, back in the 80s. Yeah, as a player. This guy was probably, I used to watch a bit of rugby league even back then. It used to be on really late at night on Channel 9. He used to just beat the shit out of cunts. he was like 6'5". Yeah. Like, I want him to go up to one of these guys. Okay, so testosterone? We don't have testosterone. He would look him up. His story's pretty amazing. I think he might have gone to Hollywood as an actor, but he was pretty
naive to think. Anyway, it was just an array of the most disgusting humans that you could ever kind of bring together. And eventually, once it got to 80 comments, I had to, and I blocked every single one of the people. I didn't respond to any. I had to turn the comments off because I thought enough of this shit. And I make no apologies for doing that. And it just got all too much. But I was really proud, just on an aside, proud of Kyle Langford. I don't know if you listened to the interview, but you could tell that he was triggered and he was very defensive and he wasn't having anyone belittling what Finlayson said or did, and I'm finding it hard to take the people trying to draw sympathy for him from Finlayson.
Oh, yeah,
saying his wife's got cancer, and the community could not have been better towards his wife during her cancer trial. Don't bring that into it. This is a totally separate. It's not appropriate to bring that up and to make him the victim here. He's not the victim. And to say that he apologized straight away. Let me make it clear. There is no way in hell that bloke, who has probably the lowest IQ in Australia, actually had the self-awareness to go up to one of his authorities at the club and say, look, I just said the F word. I'm probably going to be in trouble. As if.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the Essendon players probably said to him, hold him, that's not on and you're in big trouble. And then he probably was forced to because it got caught on the umpire's mic. No other reason. So let's just not bring any sympathy towards him. He's not the victim.
But also, he's not the one we should be directing our anger at. I think 3 weeks in the AFL, cop out.
Absolutely.
I think it's akin to what Tex Walker said and did.
Absolutely,
and
it is.
Should have been treated accordingly. But what I said to you before we started recording is when dickheads like that are coming after you, you know you're on the right track.
I definitely felt very proud of Kyle Langford for coming out and not feeling like he had to toe the line of, he'll get dealt with by the AFL. You could tell, you could hear it in his voice, the tone of voice. So
he's well spoken, isn't he, Kyle?
Yeah, he is. He is. But I thought the whole interview, he was very defensive, and we'll get into the footy part shortly. But the whole interview sounded very, very defensive. He did not sound happy.
Well, I'm not happy either. I mean, just changing gear.
Yeah,
so the owner's forecast, we're going to do to changes. We'll do Smoking Joe, Sitting Joe, but you weren't on the pod on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Like, it started with the news Ridley's injured. Did that come out before the game, I think, that Ridley's re-injured his...
I believe so, or had a setback, quad.
Yeah, a setback. And it's just like, it's all turned to fucking shit. It has turned to complete poo. Settleford exacerbated his knee. Don't know if he was brought in too quickly.
I think he was, yeah.
No one's, like, there's injuries left, right and centre.
So can I just give you my unpopular opinion in terms of the injuries?
Hit me.
I personally don't believe it has anything to do with any ground, any grass, any concrete that they're training on. I don't think it has to do with the player's fitness. I don't think it has to do with the medical team. I feel it is just bad luck. That will be a very unpopular opinion, and I'll be sitting in the cow paddock all alone on that one, I know. But my gut, something tells me that it's just bad luck. And I don't know why I feel that way, but I do.
I guess we always looked at a reason for things. The recurrence of injuries is what worries me. So we've had multiple players that have come back or apparently been back in training and it's been extended. Does that happen with other clubs? Maybe we're just so myopic that we're not.
This is my point. St Kilda have been thrashed with Hawthorn had like four go down before round one. I honestly, my gut just says it's just bad luck and we're just so hyper-focused on our own paddock that I think all the paddocks are going through this. I'm sticking with the paddock analogy.
Yeah, 100%. But we, well, let's look at the changes because it feeds into the as I look for the changes because I wanted to see who the Dogs have. See, the Dogs are doing all right, aren't they? They can drop Daniel. We wouldn't drop him, would we?
No, we wouldn't. But he seems to be on the outer at the Dogs. He was the sub. Like, I don't understand. Yeah, he seems to be on the outer down there at the kennel. But they're on the same amount of wins as us, aren't they?
They are.
They're performing better, but they still lost last week. So we just did it more spectacularly and we kind of came out of nowhere and just rattled everybody's cause, but they still lost.
This is true. We're both 2-2. It's a point I made in the podcast. So, in Durham and Davey Jr., Alwyn, which is good, Setterfield and Archie Perkins. I think we could. It was when he did that chase, wasn't it?
Yep. I knew exactly when it happened.
Yeah.
Chasing Butters into the forward 50.
Yeah. We did a lot of maybe if we weren't chasing as many butts, we wouldn't have so many injuries. But how are you feeling about, obviously, they're two big losses, I guess, offset in some respect by Durham, who's, you know, showing I think he can be a capable midfielder. Oh, I should say, by the way, before you go, the emergencies are Sardis. I would rather it seen him come in. Weedman again, so presumably knocking on the door, and Caddy.
Do you know why that is? Because we have nobody. There's nobody else to list as emergency. That's all we've
probably,
got.
Probably.
Who else could you realistically see? Maybe Hayes at a very, you know, scratching the surface. But we got no more at all.
So do you remember the new segment we introduced last week?
Yes.
The Houdini?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This guy keeps winning awards, man. He's won two Hennemans in a row.
Are you giving it to him again?
And he's going to win the Houdini Award again.
I don't think you went hard enough at one player in particular on the pod. I would have given him the Henneman without failure. I reckon the correspondent got it wrong.
He was the worst.
Okay.
Hold that thought. Jai Menzies gets my Solutions' very own Houdini Award, escapes again. He should have been, he should be in the Bastille in Paris a few hundred years ago with his head on the guillotine block and should be getting it chopped off and back in the resis, but he's survived again. I don't know how. He's obviously, he received that portfolio of photos on the Essendon coaching staff administration from Travis Collier back in the day, who also never got dropped. And he survived somehow. I don't know how. But you're going to tell me somebody's even luckier.
You know who it is, because I was texting you all through the night about him and saying, and I it was almost, I'm almost shocked for words to even describe how poor this young guy was and how surprised I am at how bad he was. And that's Draper. He just had absolutely no desire to compete. He was more interested in the flashy stuff. He had no desire to kind of do what he does best and set the tone, given he's in the middle.
Yeah, I think I shouted him out on the podcast.
You did, but I would have given him the Henneman. I thought he was incredibly poor from an attitude point of view, down to his skill, and he was throwing limbs about like he was fucking Gumby. Like I don't know what he was thinking. Now, don't get me wrong, Goldstein looked tired to me and looked like he couldn't get around. But Draper, that is not what you expect from someone who people want to be the number one ruckman. I was beyond belief at how badly he performed.
Look, everyone's entitled to a bad game. So he's off the hook for the moment. In terms of the context of the Houdini Award, I don't think he'd be dropped based on that, and given we don't have options, really. Down forward and all these things, we need him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he started to forget who he is. He's actually a player who, if he's not working hard, he's a pretty average footballer. It's not like he's got great skill.
Like Stringer. If he's not working hard, he could still probably kick your miracle goal.
Stringer. He's not. That's right. He needs to be working hard. If not, he is a bog average footballer. So.
And you know what? Do you reckon freaking big Ivan Soldo listened to this podcast last week? Listened to the forecast and heard me say that he's an absolute useless unit, because he made me look like an absolute potato. He turned it on and he made Draper and Goldstein look absolutely second rate.
Yeah.
He had the game of his life. Yeah, the game of his life.
Agree. He made a few of us look silly. But most importantly, I think correspondent mentioned our two rucks had two marks between them.
That's like
it should have been a strength of ours last week, and it was just numb.
The thing that stood out is that, you know, all the missed tackles and shit, like that were just making you rip your hair out.
Yeah.
Well, the difference is, the Port mids are so good, and their smaller, more powerful players are so good that they require you to dig deep when you're tackling them, when you're running hard against them.
Mm.
They require you to dig a little bit deeper than what the St Kilda players did, what the Hawthorn players did. And our boys just didn't want to go there.
No.
And I include Zach Merritt in that. He did some really good things, but I include that. I think he as a collective, you know, I saw a bunch of individuals playing and I didn't see a team playing, a unit, a midfield group, you know.
Well, I hope this, I do think there's one ray of hope for us this week, but I'm going to save that for when we do the prediction.
Yeah.
Smoking Joe, Sitting Joe.
Okay.
So last week I said the Smoking Joe was going to be, who did I say? Was it Redmond?
Yeah.
No.
What's he doing? What's in the? No. What is he?
Collect his new paycheck.
Can you please tell me one thing he is contributing to this team?
I can. Two words. Fuck all.
I cannot for the life of me, he's not shutting down a player. He's not driving the ball forward like he was last year. No worries. If you're changing his role, no problem. But I don't see any contribution from him that is making this team better.
He's been given a decent contract. And look, nothing – I'm not casting aspersions on his getting the best deal he could possibly get for himself. Well done. You know, they're in football for a short period of time. They're professional athletes. They have a very short lifespan as an AFL footballer. Make as much money as you can. Great. Congratulations. Good on you. He's now at the point where he should be a leader. He should be providing leadership for the other players, doing the hard, dirty, defensive stuff. And then, I mean, the only thing I wonder, a bit like Martin and sometimes McGrath, maybe they've been given specific instructions from Scott about the drive and run they're supposed to provide.
Yep.
And sometimes maybe they're just not up to it and not up to the role he's asking, or perhaps they're caught in between. You know, whether they should be defensive or not at times, I don't know.
Is there any world that he's actually doing the role that he's been given? Is there any world where that... We just don't know.
There's no world. But yeah. There's a world where Brad Scott has said, what I want you to do
is be
ineffectual all game and don't go near your opponent and don't provide any run. And when you do get the ball, give it away. If that's the brief, meeting it 100%.
My
point was going to be, I was well off the mark with the smoking Joe. Your sitting Joe was Langford, and I reckon you could argue he was sitting for much of that game, although to be a forward in that game
not willing to concede that one. No forwards. The forwards got a pass mark, absolutely. That's why for Menzies, like, to give him the Henneman when he, like, let's be honest, he did not have a chance to impact, you know, much. So, yes, he's been poor, but...
I think he was still Henneman.
Oh, yeah, I think Draper was the way bigger disappointment, because he sets the tone there, and he let... Soldo was pushing him with two hands, and he was falling down. What is that rubbish? I'm sorry. I cannot get behind that.
What I will concede is, if you consider, if we were doing a post-game sitting Joe, because remember in the Windsor Constitution, the terms of reference of the Henneman is worst on ground. The sitting Joe is the guy who drops his level. You know, just like the smoking Joe is somebody that raises their level above what they normally do. Sitting Joe is, this is how you normally perform, but you were shocking. Definitely sitting Joe. If we're doing a post-game sitting Joe, he won the sitting Joe, hands down, because he's a much, much better player when he works hard and when he's focused on the basics and when he's not sipping his own bathwater and looking behind over his shoulder like he's going to run on and take two bounces and kick goal of the season. Correct. Mate, you did that once. It was a fucking fluke. Focus on the basics.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. There was a bit of too much showy drinking bathwater for mine for his performance. And I just hope, it was I hope I'm not going to see a carbon copy of it again this season, because that's not what we're trying to build here, basically. And I'll get off poor Sam's case. But, so I have the smoking Joe.
You've got smoking.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it to Andrew McGrath. Don't know why. It's just the first name that popped into my head.
Fair enough. He's a...
He's going to need a big one. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, the ball's going to be down there.
That's right. Yeah, because they've got a very dangerous. Their forward line is their midfield goes without saying, but their forward line to me has the ability to be as dangerous as any team in the competition, in my opinion. Mm. Their back line for me is questionable, but their forward line, they've got skills. They can quickly put four or five goals on you in a blink. They've got skills, they've got a point of difference, and their players, Waitman, Norton and Ugo Hagen, all very unpredictable because they've all got skills.
Waitman has his own umpires as well.
Yes. Let's hope he doesn't bring them tomorrow night. But
he'll bring them tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
It's Essendon.
Yes, true. That's right. But it's unpredictable because they're all quite flighty and they're all very talented and all got quite good footy now, like in the same realm as Jake Stringer. So their forward line is hella dangerous.
Oh, was I on mute? What a fucking moron. What I was saying was, look, you've gone with Andy McGrath.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say about him is that he always gives it 100%.
Yeah.
Like, his errors are not errors of effort.
Nah.
It's you know, coughing the ball up, clangers or whatever, but you'd never question that he'll have a dip and you know, a few players from last week could be accused of not doing that.
Yeah. Brad Scott said in his press conference that it looked like it was a lack of effort, but really it was poor execution. I'm not sure I agree 100% with him on that. I reckon it was 50-50 for 50-50 of the list. For example, yeah. Draper was an absolute categoric, no doubt in my mind, lack of effort. But your Andrew McGrath, your Caldwell, even Dersma was not lack of effort. Ben McKay, not lack of effort.
No.
Out of those players. They fucked it up, you know, but not lack of effort. But there was a handful, and I probably put Perkins in a few contests in that group, who definitely was. So I get Brad Scott trying to defend the troops, but I think there certainly was lack of effort in some of them, and I hope he's had a quiet word.
Yeah, and what I like, I like Brad Scott not throwing players under the bus. I'm sure it was a different message.
Yeah, good.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah. I wonder if it's time for a bit of tough love with this group. Because you know how he's been very measured and calm with them so far? And every player interviewed have said that he hasn't had a big, like, rah, you know, moment. I wonder if it's time now for a bit of tough love and a bit of a bake for this group.
Do you know what I'd like to see? I'd actually like to see some players, and I guess we just don't have the depth, right? I'd like to see some players dropped when they're being poor. That's what I think this team's missing. It's missing pressure around the periphery of the team. As I said, Daniel just got dropped. Like, he'd walk into this team, but they're able to drop him for whatever reason. It's because, you know,
I disagree with that. If this was chronic, I would say absolutely we need to see some integrity at the selection table. But after one poor performance, you've got to give them the chance to redeem.
Yeah, although what I would say is that there's some players who've put in multiple poor performances, like Redmond, for example.
Yeah, but with Ridley missing, who are you replacing him with?
But that's exactly my point, is that a guy like Redmond can continue to be picked because we don't have enough.
So it's not selection. It's not Brad Scott's fault.
Then. No. That's what I'm saying. That's basically my point. Probably
it's for the people whinging about selection integrity. Well, firstly, you've got to give the group a chance to fuck up every now and then because they're still learning a new game plan. And secondly, Who do you have coming in? Do you want Caddy to play in that game last week? What's he going to develop in that game? He's going to get pneumonia down there.
Yeah, that's right.
PTSD. Yeah. And he's going to get a chill from standing down there. How much is he developing in a game like that?
Yep.
So it's not selection integrity. It's selection fucking smarts.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, who are you giving your sitting Joe to?
Sitting Joe? Look. Oh, I'm tempted to give it to Mason. But I've recalibrated his level now, so I don't know what his actual level is. So he's gonna be off the hook. I'm gonna give it He won this again. If this was a post game sitting Joe, he would have been in the frame for it as well. This week, Hobbs.
Oh, didn't he have a stinker?
Shocking, man.
Could have got the Henneman. He was bad, very bad.
He was probably mine from last week. Oh, a massive fan of Hobbs. I think he's got oodles of talent. I think he's got courage. I think he's got. I think he's got disposal. Like, I think it's better than Parrish. I think he's used to the ball. Mm-hmm. But you can see that when he kicks for goal.
Mm.
Don't know what happened last week. Don't know what happened. I can only hope.
I want to see him more in the guts.
Yeah. I think he might be now with Perkins out.
I want to see him scooping, you know, head. I want to see him at the bottom of the pack and then scooping the ball out to the outside on rotation, basically.
Yep.
He needs to lift.
You know what I don't want to see, by the way? Mm. I don't want to see Alan Davies a sub.
I reckon you're going to be very disappointed.
No, I want Menzies.
Yeah, that would be my pick. I'd keep Hind in the team and I'd make Menzies the sub. But again, I'm not. What if we need a spark? Are you excited to get Menzies on?
No, I'm excited to get him off.
Yeah, but if you want him to start as the sub, he's got to come on.
Well, I guess because I didn't want him picked. So I'm hoping he's now the sub. But I mean, I'd like to see Davey given a run at it. And I think he's upside. Look, we spoke about it last week. Let's play guys with upside. Clearly, the team's not in the frame for top four.
No.
Jez's top four.
Oh, yeah, Jez's top four.
Yeah, no wonder he's running from being on the podcast.
Yeah, it was a bit suspicious, actually. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes a lot of sense.
Let's go to the game.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, you had some fucking bonkers Fiona's couch questions.
Oh, my. It was the highlight. It really cheered me up.
There were so many of them.
It really cheered me up. I thought the ghosts was it's still my favourite, but there were some beautiful ones, that's for sure. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so what's your prediction?
Look, this game, don't you feel like it's a bit, we're getting a bit of St Kilda, and we're getting a bit of Port Adelaide. We're getting two of what we've already faced. So the Dogs are very good, very fast, if not faster than St Kilda, to me. Mm. Very, very quick. So we're getting a bit of what we faced at St Kilda. And then they've got a very elite midfield. So we're getting what we faced against Port Adelaide. So in hindsight, we should know exactly what we're going to come up against tomorrow night and we should have prepared accordingly.
Yeah, it's one thing to prepare and it's one thing, do you have the talent to execute?
Yeah, and that's...
Do you know what my grain of hope that I'm clinging to?
Oh, yes, tell me.
Otherwise, like my general feeling is just impending doom.
Yeah.
Like, I do not feel confident at all. I feel like the game's going to start, I'm going to be angry from about 10 minutes in, and I'm just going to experience anger, frustration, hurt for 3 hours, and then switch off with 5,000 people having to go at me on Twitter for blaming the umpires or something like that. Standard game. That's right. Yeah. Rinse and repeat. But the one thing I'm clinging to is that we were so poor on Friday night, and for whatever reason, the players still consider, I think, playing primetime TV of an evening to be a game that they want to show they want to show the football world that they're actual players and they can play, and they would have been embarrassed by last week.
Oh.
We will be stung. And it is at Marvel, so you're less likely to get run off your feet like the Adelaide Oval.
Mm-hmm.
We might start really fiercely and be really strong at the contents. Oh, wait, that's what happened last week.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, is this supposed to be a ray of hope? Where is the hope?
Yeah, we're fucked.
Look,
yeah.
Here's the reality. You want me to hit you with the reality? The reality is...
Wait, you asked me a question. Can I answer it? Oh, it was rhetorical.
It was rhetoric. Okay. Yeah, yeah. The reality is we're learning a new game plan, okay? Now...
Oh, no, Fiona. You're giving me learnings now.
If you look at the game plan like a piece of pie, we're getting one slice of the pie right at the minute. We're getting the contested, hard-natured, you know, hard at the ball, fierce edge part. That's what we're working on. You know, a bit of the press, you know, with McGrath.
A quarter and 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. So we're getting McGrath and your Martins driving forward and then trying to press really high up the ground and keeping with the intensity and the pressure. And you know how I was saying, let's just get more players to the contest. You know, that's what we're doing. We're getting more players to the contents. But what if the opposition gets it out? Well, then we've got no one on the outside. So we're getting one slice of the pie. We're working on that. But I guess you can't get the whole slice of the pie right in season. So maybe the other slices of the pie get, you know, left in the shadows while you're learning about this slice of pie, you're having the taste of it.
How many pieces of this pie exists? How big is this fucking pie?
That's a good question. Look, in my head, there's about four slices, maybe five. Because I wonder if this is the most...
Listen.
I wonder if this is the most profound slice of pie, though. I'm wondering if this is... If we get this right, then you just got to work on what happens when the contested, hard-edge-natured footy, you don't win it. Have I lost you?
Mia Sorella.
I've lost him.
I can't do the learnings. I can't do the learnings.
But that's the reality. But that's the reality. What more can you ride on? This is bad spots. And people are trying to tell me, oh, this group has put in those performances before. Sure, I give you that. But this group under Brad Scott, this is only the second year under Brad Scott. You've got to give him the time to undo the crap that these players, the crap culture, the crap, you know, habits that these players have learnt. Let me be clear. Preaching patience from Brad Scott is different to Ben Rudden preaching patience. And I'll finish on that.
Look, I'm all for patience because we're trying to rebuild a list.
And a culture.
I'm less patient with culture and I'm less patient with game plan because I like Craig McRae. How long did it take him to
Yeah, but Collingwood didn't have a bad culture. They had a rat pack, but they didn't have a bad culture. You wouldn't I'd say argue, they had a bad culture.
I'd argue they had cultural problems.
They had drug problems, absolutely. But they didn't. I wouldn't say they had a bad culture like we did, like a festation. We have a festation in the walls of the club. For 20 years.
Let's park.
We can disagree on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of game plan, I think he and maybe he's got better cattle. What we need to do is we need to change the cattle.
But he can only do so much. He can only do so much. And I think he's made himself very clear at the start of the year. He said in no uncertain terms, the ones who don't show up, they'll be shown the door. Yeah. But you can't show them the door mid-season. You got to work with what you got.
True. But I think players like Redmond, I don't want to keep picking on him, but he's kind of a good example of a guy old enough, been around long enough, has the talent because we've seen him play well, and why has he regressed? But anyway, I guess the original point was we might be stunned at least. At least we'll see hopefully an effort that lasts longer than a half.
It's like if you set the foundations. Like my gut says that this piece of the pie is the foundation part of the game plan, the hard, contested, non-negotiable effort, and then the intricacies of the game plan come in after that. So what happens when that contested nature fails you? How do you get how do you set up around the contest?
I still worry, and it's a point I've made from the start of the season, I still worry that we don't have enough legs. A lot of our body types, maybe we don't have enough paces rather than legs. The paces that we seem to get done for pace.
Yeah, I don't think it's fitness. I would probably say we don't have enough players.
Well, that's why. Sorry to interrupt. That's why instead of legs, I said pace.
Yeah.
Like pace isn't fitness. Pace is like your natural, how quick are you? And I do wonder whether we need some speedier players that can run through. But anyway, that's a tangent that we don't have time to.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely no excuses for the lack of effort, but I get why it's there. Like it makes sense to me why it's there. It doesn't make it any less frustrating. It doesn't make it any less frustrating to hear that we're going to be shit for the next 5 years. But they're them the facts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the reality. Brad Scott, the one thing I can go to bed on.
Sorry, can I just grab my wine?
I know, take a sip. The one thing I can go to bed on and know is that the right people are in place and the right administration are in place to make the right steps forward. But this group here that we've got have grown and developed in a system that's been culturally toxic. So think how long it takes to create a habit. Think how long it takes to undo a habit. And that's what Brad Scott is essentially doing. But this group, it's like nurture versus nature, you know. They're growing up in a toxic culture. How do you expect the new coach to walk in the door and say, jump? If they've been learning how to skip since they walked in the door 7 years ago and Brad Scott all of a sudden says jump,
and, you know,
that's not how the brain works, unfortunately.
Yeah, and circling back to the fitness issue, maybe that's potentially a contributing factor. Also, the fact that they've increased their loads in pre-season, they've increased their professionalism, but there's a bit of a lag between their bodies adjusting to the new kind of regime.
Very good point. Very good point.
Well, so what's your prediction? And then we'll go to the couch.
I think it'll be the Dogs by 37.
Ooh, prime number. Never a good thing.
I hate odd numbers.
What's your favourite number?
18. That's why it kills me, because Matthew Lloyd, he was my hero, and that's why he kills me now. Like, he actually triggers me so badly because he has such venom in his voice when he speaks about the Bombers.
Can you guess mine?
5?
Consider my era. 5 would have been a good guess.
32?
Yep. Yeah, my password for many years ended in 32. And then in the late 90s, 2000, it was 43.
Yep.
Mr. Rioli.
Yep.
Love that guy. Anyway, I'm going to go Dogs by... Look, I think we might be competitive, and I think we might really try hard, which is going to hurt even more.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
But I think it'll be 29 points.
Yep. That sounds about right.
I think it'll be... Sorry, you go.
I was going to say, I'll be upset if it's any more than what I said, 37.
Yeah. I think we'll be relatively competitive for much of the game.
Hurting not having Peter Wright. It's just, oh, can't get him back freaking soon enough.
And you know, when I saw that, the Melbourne challenge for Pickett.
Mm.
Like, why didn't Essendon just do that? Why didn't we just go in there and try and downgrade one of the categories and just tell the truth, which is he's a ball player. He's never done this ever in his life. At the last second, the guy ran into his path and he braced himself early to make sure, as a player that's been injured multiple times, is it over 200 centimetres and is at full pace.
That
for him, that he needed to protect himself. Why didn't we say that?
I it's an unnatural expectation to think that you're not going to brace. It's biology. Like, get a psychologist in there to say that it's physically impossible not to brace.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go to the couch. And I'm going to give you more than one because there's some doozies.
No, just the one.
Oh,
just
no, can one. I? Because this one's going to be really quick. One's going to be super quick.
Oh,
can I do that?
One per week. We can't. We've got to.
This one I can answer.
Oh, okay.
This one I'm going to answer. I'm going to
open. No, I haven't given you permission for that.
It's my podcast. So this is the one I'm going to answer. So just for new listeners, Fiona's Couch, non-football questions they ask us of Fiona.
Well, they can be football questions.
But they can be, but generally not. So this person asked the question, anonymous, of course. If I punch myself in the face and it hurts, am I weak or strong? So if I punch myself in the face and it hurts, am I weak or strong? And my answer is, mate, you're neither. You're a fucking idiot.
No, I think that's funny.
No, I'm just addressing the question. But I reckon this one's right up your alley because you're a very, you're almost, I think part of the reason this podcast works well is you're like the anti-me. You're quite positive as a person. You're very supportive.
I think Sam Draper would disagree with me on that tonight.
Possibly.
Look, I'm realistic and I try to, aside from when it comes to King Kelly, I can be generally pretty, you know, see both sides.
All right.
Unbiased.
Well, I think this is up your alley because this person will needs a pep talk, I think.
Oh.
So the question is, it's not really a question, it's a statement. I'm balding badly and feel really self-conscious. Also single. Also pretty young. I feel like this will just make me so much uglier. What is your response for this?
It makes me feel so sad. Because I know men, this is, I mean, let's be honest, women take the brunt of insecurity when it comes to their physical appearance, but men, every man I know has this issue, and it's the hair, it's the receding hairline, it's the losing the hair, it's balding early. I've got mates, you know, who are young that are balding, and, you know, it's a very uncomfortable conversation. But I will say there are some fantastic products with caffeine. Always check the labels. Has to have caffeine in it, in the terms of shampoos, masks, things like that, that will help you just stretch out as long as you can before you've got to shave it all off. But I will say this.
Could you just, like, massage a latte into your hair? Would that work?
Look, you could just get some Lavazza. And we've got, at my place, there's never short of Lavazza coffee here. So you just chuck all the Lavazza on your head. And just massage it in and just leave it there for a couple of hours and you'll have a full head of hair come morning.
No, I heard extra virgin olive oil is quite good, apparently.
Coconut oil, also very good. Okay. I've given that to a mate and he says it has not completely stopped, but it slowed the progression of hair loss for him, which is really good. Once a week he does that. So coconut oil is an idea. But generally products with caffeine are very good for male hair loss. But I will say it is only one part of you and none of us, we all have something that we think makes us hideous. And that is just one element and one aspect of you as a person. And it's not going to make you uglier inside or out to the right person. You're going to be perfectly imperfect as we all are for the right person. If it makes you feel, but if it does, if it is a very big insecurity for you, there's always hats, you know, beanies. No, I mean that seriously. I say this to my mates. If it's making you feel very insecure, wear a hat, wear a beanie, but also wear it proud because, hey, I know heaps of girls too who absolutely love a baldy, absolutely froth for a baldy.
Well,
I also will say though, if you have the ability to have facial hair, the facial hair, nice kind of, you know, beard, short beard or stubble with a balding head. I would go with that if you have that ability. Because that, I've dated men who nice big beard and a bald head. No problems at all.
Yeah, the only thing about the shaved head is I reckon, in my opinion, now I can speak on some authority on this.
No, you've got a pretty good head of hair.
Look, but I am getting a solar panel. at the back. There is. I am going to be a solar panel sex machine. Okay. Barely, you know, in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
But also, I'm old enough. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Anymore. But I think Larry David might have made this point, is that when you've got kind of a weirdly shaped head, like I think I do, like some people with nice round heads can shave, but the head looks really good. Pep Guardiola, who, you know, soccer fans will know, is a classic example. He's like a football manager. He's got the beard. He's Spanish, you know, olive skin. You know, he looks good. Me, no one would look at my shaved head and say, oh, he's shaving his head out of choice. He's not balding. He's just choosing to be bald. Oh, I'd never do that. So I'm going to be holding on, and I'm just going to go the nutty professor, like.
But I see guys and who are trying to hold on to those last bit, and it's in patches, and I think, mate, just shave it.
Shave it. Yeah, that one.
Shave it. And I said it to the guy when I first, that I dated, who shaved his head. I said it to him at the time. I said, don't, it looks worse, those little patchy, just shave it. And he, it's an adjustment. So give yourself the grace to kind of feel really insecure, you know, about your new look. But also come to terms with the fact that this is in control. Unless you want to actually go and get implants, this is out of control. No, I also went on a date with a guy who had implants, and it looked terrible.
How did it look? Did it look like one of those, like, the old dolls which had, like, tufts of hair?
Sort of. Yep, it sort of had a bit of that look. It looked very unnatural, in my opinion. But unless you do that, this is out of your control. So it's just like, if you don't like the look of your face, well, this is out of my control unless I go have Botox and facelifts and shit. And that's just not me. I don't like that stuff. So this is something that's out of your control, but it's also okay to feel really insecure about it. And don't try and kid yourself into thinking that you shouldn't be insecure about it, or, you know, pretending that you love it when you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will naturally happen, but it is only one part of you. And if you are, kicking goals in every other aspect of your life, and that mainly that you're a good person, you're self-aware, you're doing work on who you are as a person, that the shaved head is going to be the last thing on the right person's mind, female or male, if you're not, whatever your choice is.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Well, that's it for the podcast. This was therapeutic again.
It was very therapeutic.
Wasn't quick. Was it quick? Probably been an hour.
Felt quick. It was therapeutic for me because I missed out. You got a bit of therapy on the Sunday pod.
Yes.
Did that make you feel better?
It always does. Yeah. It always does. Like, I joke about Eston therapy, but quite honestly, I think having Eston supporter friends that you can talk through your pain is definitely helps.
And you know what? The one thing that I felt truly, and I felt this, and I'll be honest with you, after that Finn Layson tweet and seeing all the comments, and don't think twice. It was all the men with all those disgusting comments.
Yeah,
people who say oh, it's not all men. Well, there was not one vile comment from a woman, so I don't know what you want to say to that. But you know what, it really made me feel really, really grateful for the cultivated group of men who I have connected with through Twitter, who I call good friends. You know, even the other Don the Stat Boys and the Lunchtime Catch-Up guys and the Flight Plan shout out to them, who I've been able to connect with, who don't belittle, who are not threatened by a woman in footy, who are respectful and actually genuinely good humans. It just made me feel all the more grateful that I have been able to find and connect with you all. So, there was a bit of a light. Not that I'm not always grateful, but it really did make me feel that tinge of gratitude, seeing all of that and knowing that I have a safe place to talk about the thing that I love and sometimes hate. You know, a safe place
Yep.
With safe men, with safe, you know, and when I say safe, emotionally safe. And physically safe, I guess, because men scare all of us. So, yes. So thank you to all the fabulous males in my life that I connect with and talk footy with, and that's all I'll full stop on that.
What a nice way to end the podcast. We normally never that positive.
Yeah, but, no, I just felt like some good had to come out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Look, that vitriol, look, yeah.
100%. You just have to read the comments. Are fucking vile. So, fuck all those guys. But anyway, yeah, thanks to everyone that listened. So it's Thursday night. I'll publish this, and then the game's tomorrow. So we might only have 20 people listen to this shit. But anyway, it's been fun.
No, everyone's going to listen on their commute to work tomorrow morning. That's how it goes.
That's right. Very good point.
Yeah.
So thanks to everyone that listened. Check out something about Cake, our wonderful sponsor. Go the Bombers, and we'll see you in the podcast.
All right. Catch you, guys.
Go Bombers. The light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon. Hill's got it. Driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose.